Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Becoming Relentless. I am your host, Elanoa McCabe. I am an IFBB bikini pro and an online fitness coach. And I am joined once again by my lovely co-host, Lexa.
Hello.
Today, we are going to help you save $2,000 in
or more.
In the next 20 minutes, we're going to teach you how to save and budget for your show, what to splurge on, and what to save on. So make sure y'all are ready to write this down, commit it to memory. You're going to thank us later, especially with the season coming up. I feel like this one is really, really important. A lot of practical takeaways. So we'll see you inside. All right.
Let's get into it.
Do the thing. So how would you save for a show?
Ooh. First, I want to just say that not everything needs to be expensive. I feel like the fitness space really likes their stuff. Like, we like a lot of material stuff.
We do.
Which makes sense. It's an external sport, and we absolutely love that. I think the first place that I am really quick to save with all of my athletes, which is kind of a little bit controversial, is supplements. I almost never recommend like the name brand supplements. Like, You do not need the biggest stack from insert X supplement company here. I won't call any out. You could tell that I'm not affiliated with any supplement company. I would much rather us get like a relatively like cheap multivitamin from like Life Extension or something like that. Or I would rather us get like a single ingredient thing than literally throwing the kitchen sink at someone with like 12 billion ingredients, most of them probably B vitamins, to be honest. It's like, I would rather be targeted with the supplements that I do get instead of like getting the super expensive name brand thing. Because if you get like a name brand product for like $50, you could also probably get that for like 1 month. You can probably also get that similar with like one ingredient or two ingredients for like $10. So save on your supplementation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to just reiterate, like, you don't need the brand name supplements at all. And I think sometimes there's like a pressure, or there's that element of wanting to fit in. You want to post your little pre-workout pump from that supplement company, but genuinely, you don't need that. No. So I think that's a great one. And I think that it's underrated. Like, a lot of people don't realize that you can get stage lean without a supplement company. Yeah. And their $150 stacks.
Like, yeah, it's absolutely. I think the only place that I will say like not to do that is like, don't go buy like the cheapest protein. Like, please, like, don't go buy Body Fortress. Like, that's not what I'm meaning. Like, please don't. I will name drop because that is awful. But like, yeah, everything else, like single ingredient, like, what is that company's name? Now Foods, NutriCost, bulk supplements,
even Life Extension's great. Yeah,
super great. Like, literally, like, you can get like a whole box of things for like $3 sometimes from Life Extension, and it's good quality.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that one is just number one, super important, especially if you are looking to budget for shows, because we all know how expensive that is. Mm-hmm. So number two, what you could save on is going to be your suit. And I do feel like this one is maybe an unpopular opinion, but the fact that a suit that you're going to wear for one day is $600+ is honestly absolutely ridiculous. There's just no rhyme or reason. And I bought into this, honestly. When I was a first-time competitor, my first show, I had one suit. I thought for my second show that I needed a new suit. I thought like, oh, I already wore that one. I have to wear a different one. Mm-hmm. But my biggest piece of advice for the suit, especially if you are a newer competitor, is either rent one, borrow from a friend, see if your coach has an old one that you can try. Because if you've never really competed before and you're not entirely sure if it's something that you're going to continue to do, buying a suit that you can't really resell for the same value is just a waste of money when you could rent, when you could borrow. And I know for myself, as well as like Megan, we have suits that we've kind of collected through the years, and we're more than happy to let our athletes wear them. So
yeah,
I feel like that is a really good option, and it's not one that is often talked about. A lot of people think that like you have to go out and buy these suits.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I actually like, I'm glad that you said that about like letting athletes borrow your suits, because like I did that for like one of my athletes for their shows and things like that. And I think that that's like honestly like one of the perks of having like a female coach, because it's like we have all the same stuff. You really don't need to get like everything brand new, especially because like a lot of the girls that I work with are like college girlies. Like, I don't know many college girlies with like $600+ lying around. So it's like, if you fit my suit, like, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Easy peasy.
And chances are too, if you're in this like sport, you know people in this sport who probably have a suit that you can borrow too. So just kind of being open-minded and resourceful in that way, I think is really helpful. I just gave my friend Kate one of my old suits from before like my augmentation. So I was like, yeah, I have this suit. It's never going to fit me again. Like, you can have it. Mm-hmm. Like, just take it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think it's like... It's also like recycling, right? Like
recycling.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah.
Yes,
in a way.
Yeah.
So,
also, if you do feel like you want to buy your own suit too, like they're not all $650. Like I do like affiliations with Toxic Angel Bikinis. I really like them a lot, and you can get them like at like the Heavy Scatter or like the Light Scatter, and you can have a fabric underneath that has like the sparkles. So it's still sparkly on stage. Mm-hmm. It's still pretty. It's just cheaper with like less stones.
Yeah.
But I would say that the most important thing, like when it comes to your suit, is getting one that actually fits your body and like looks good on your body. Like, I don't like some of these bikinis that just like looks like you literally like cut them with one of these like slicers. Like, you just like cut them with like a paper slicer and they're just like not looking nice on your body, especially the back cuts. Like, yeah, they can be so not nice. Like, rent from a place like Toxic Angels Bikinis or like KH Customs or something.
Yeah. That's a really great point. And something else that I also remembered, if you are crafty, so I had a friend who actually ordered like a plain fabric suit, ordered her own jewels and like hot glue gunned her own suit together. And it was actually really pretty. Like, it was beautiful. And she had more of that creative freedom of choosing what stones to do and how many. And she was like very careful about mapping it out. But it's like, if you're crafty and this is something up your alley that would interest you, that's absolutely a way that you could save on your suit. Like, if you're not crafty, I wouldn't recommend that route, only because you just never know with like the stones and like that learning process. But if you are and you have the tools, like the hot glue gun, you know where to get these crystals, maybe you have some guidance, like, not a bad idea to try.
Love that.
Yeah.
Not for me, but I love that.
Yeah, I'm not a crafty girly in that sense. So not for me, but I do know like that is something that some women can do. So.
Do not give me a hot glue gun. Yeah. That will not
I'll glue well. My hands together, you know, trying to put the crystals on with my bare hands.
That's going to lead to an ER visit, which is much more expensive than me buying a suit.
Exactly.
What's the next one on our list?
So the next one that you can save on is photography, which actually I was surprised on this because at first I was like, no, you want the memories. But then I was like, you're totally right, because on NPC News Online, you can get your stage shots for free. Yeah.
Like the pictures backstage and everything like look really nice, and like the videos and things like that. And I understand that like they look really nice and maybe we can get like a nice little shout out on Instagram. But if money is tight, then maybe not. Just enjoy the ones on NPC News Online. Like, they're great anyway. Like, they're great quality.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The ones that are on NPC News Online are ones that I've like posted on my Instagram. Like, they are good quality. Most of the time, they're also going to be free. Mm-hmm. Like Joe Pascula. Yeah.
I want to shout him out because when I competed in 2021 at the Clash, he had everything recorded and he had pictures from the pre-judging and the finals, so the day and the night show, all for free, all included in your show entry. So if you do like a really good show, like that's also one less thing that you need to purchase.
Yeah.
Which we love.
I love that. I really do. I don't think that I had that in like Colorado when I was competing. The stage shots were free, but if you wanted more of the like behind the scenes, or they had special packages that you could purchase, but there were ones for free online. So yeah. I really liked that. I do agree with you. I think it's nice. It's like a nice to have, but if you are trying to save money, it's not necessary. It's really not. You can get some for free online. Also, your friends and family who are there, I'm sure that like iPhone pictures these days, crisp, like you'll get some nice shots. So
true.
I definitely agree with that. Photography is a good place to save. And then the next place that you can save is jewelry. So
Amazon, baby.
on it. That's where I've gotten the majority of my competing jewelry is literally from Amazon.
Yeah, or borrow them. Like mm-hmm. You can get them for like, I don't know, like 10, 20 bucks, something like that. And you don't need 10 billion pieces of jewelry, like earrings, a bracelet, maybe two. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't need to be 10 billion things.
Yeah, and they can be very simple. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. You don't have to go overboard. Like, a simple jewelry set from Amazon and you're good to go. So great way to save there. And then the last thing that we put where you can save is going to be a posing suit. And I think, again, there's that weird pressure to want to fit in and get like your team's posing suit or get a posing suit from one of these suit companies. But the posing suits, the basic black posing suits with the logos on them that are like $100, you can get those on Amazon for $10. And they do the same thing. So again, if you're looking to budget, you don't need a fancy posing suit.
Easy peasy. Like, there you go. Saving you thousands of dollars.
So alternatively, we did also want to touch on where you might want to splurge. So where you might want to allow room in your budget for. And one of the first things that we said was, so for the actual show, like travel. Mm-hmm. And that would be like your flights. I don't recommend getting a flight the day before your show.
True.
Like, and also ones with like lots of layovers. If possible, try to save up enough so that you can take a direct flight a couple days before your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. An overnight flight the day before your show on Frontier sounds so bad.
It's just additional stress that you really don't need.
Yes.
And if you're going through the pain of traveling for a show, a lot of people travel for national level shows, mm-hmm. you don't want to be scrimping on that flight. Because what if there's cancellations? What if there's changes? You know, if you're getting layovers overnights, there's just a lot of uncertainty and potential for heightened stress that just isn't necessary. So if possible, definitely budget out and plan for a nice flight.
Not one of like the budget ones, because they actually do cancel quite a lot, like Frontier flights and things. Like, I'm calling them out because I've had a bad experience and I don't
specifically
care.
Specifically Frontier. Frontier.
But yeah, just make sure that your flight at least is going to get you there. Like, obviously, like, you can't control what happens with like the flights, but you can at least put yourself in a position that like it's not the day before, so it's not like the worst thing.
And it's not a red eye or like anything that's going to cause you stress and interrupt what you've worked so hard for. I think that's the biggest thing is like you just prepped for 20 plus weeks and you booked a flight at midnight for your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, also, I wish my last show I had stayed at the host hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I was being so sneaky, saving like, I don't know, like $100 on my hotel. But then I ended up spending all of that in Ubers going back and forth and staying like in the lobby of the hotel so I didn't miss my class instead of like being comfy upstairs in my hotel room. Like, I wish I had spent that extra money because I spent it anyway on Ubers.
Right.
And you had mentioned that like someone might have like missed their class, yeah. and, like, not gone pro because of traffic because they weren't at the host hotel. Like,
yeah. So one of my coach friends here in Austin, he had an athlete at Nationals in Dallas, and they were hands down class winner. Like, she looked amazing, held center the whole time. Like, she was going pro. It was hers. And between prejudging and finals, I don't know if she went back to her hotel and it was like in Dallas, whereas like Nationals was being held kind of on the outskirts of Dallas in Irving, actually. And Dallas traffic, it just got, it's notorious for being bad, but it got really bad that weekend. And she missed finals and missed her pro card. And it's like, you could avoid that by staying at the host hotel, or at the very least, something that's like within walking distance to the convention center. So when I went pro in Orlando, when Nationals was held in Florida, instead of staying at the host hotel, I stayed at a Airbnb in a neighborhood that was literally across the street from the convention center. So I didn't even have to really Uber. Like, I could mm-hmm. walk if I wanted to. And I think it was a little bit extra, but it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, having that space, being able to go relax, knowing that you don't have to battle traffic to get back to the show. It's just, how can you have the least amount of stress on show day?
Yes. I think this like whole thing, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but like for like saving money, like if it's not going to impede your experience, like it's not detracting from your experience if you don't have a posing suit, or it's like not detracting from your experience if you rent one or something like that. But like it would detract from your experience if you miss your class because of traffic or have a really crappy hotel room somewhere, or it's like one of those like super hosts where you have like other people with you in an Airbnb, like that would detract from your experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. So you can ask yourself that question, like, is this going to impact the experience that I'm going to have on show day or on stage? And if the answer is yes, then you probably don't want to scrimp and like penny pinch there. Yeah. The other one that we said to splurge on is heels.
So heels can break. And some heels can be very narrow in the toe box. And like literally, this is also going to impact your training too. Like if your feet are literally like these little like crimped, like sad, crumbled.
Take care of
your dogs, people.
Take care of your dog. Dogs breathe. Yes,
please, please. You'll be much more comfortable. So make sure that you get heels that fit you. They can break. So be very cautious with how you take care of them. And that's what I will say about that.
Yes. So I have like a heel horror story, kind of.
Oh, no.
My first show, I bought heels from Amazon, very cheap. And when they came, like it was clear that they were cheap. Like the what I had paid was what I got. And within like the first 2 weeks, the straps were already fraying. Like I could tell that they were going to break. And what I ended up having to do was show day, I took clear tape, like cellophane tape, and taped my straps so that they would stay together. And it went over okay, but just the stress of, oh my gosh, are my heels going to break? Is the strap going to snap while I'm posing?
Yeah.
It just wasn't worth like that mental agony, really. So find a good pair of heels. Treat them very nicely. I know it's really tempting for us to like crank on the strap and, you know, after training, if you're posing, your feet are really sweaty. And so you're really just manhandling these straps. If you can, like try and be really gentle with them. But what's really going to help with that is getting a good quality pair.
And also, if the straps do break, I'm just remembering you can buy straps on Amazon. Like you can rip the old straps off and you can just like get new ones and slide them over the heel. I just remembered that. So life hack, because I feel like that's the most popular thing that breaks.
It's the strap. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So get good heels that don't hurt your dogs and that,
that are easy to walk in. Yeah. Comfy. And you can get replacement straps on Amazon. Doing a good show with a good promoter.
Yes. Shout out Joe Pishkula, because that was literally like the highest quality show. Like my first show, I'm not going to name drop, but they just were like, they didn't really seem to care about the athletes. Like they were like yelling at us backstage when it's like time to go. And it's like, we didn't go on for like 2 hours and like we're standing backstage in our heels for like no reason and like had our pump up food too soon and all of those things. But like when it's a really good promoter, you can tell that they put the athlete experience first. And again, like we were just saying, like if it's going to enhance your experience, like maybe do like a bigger show, you know, like maybe do a bigger show where they clearly care about the athletes. And you can tell on NPC News Online too, like what that looks like. Like the lighting is A1, like it's a decent sized show. Like it's high quality.
Yes. Like, is it held in a high school auditorium or is it held in a proper like convention center type setting? Like, is there good stage lighting or does it look like the backdrop was made and like drop shipped overnight? You can tell. And that's what I think that's what's so useful about NPC News Online is you can go look up the show. And I'm not trying to knock those smaller shows, but you can tell promoters who are doing it for the athlete to have a good experience and then promoters who are not doing that. So,
and even like promoters who are just doing it to make money. And like I went to one of my athletes' shows and I had this experience. They tried to charge me like $400 for like a backstage pass for my athlete. I'm like, what? Like, why? There's no reason.
It's like literally just behind that curtain. There's just no rhyme or reason. So,
and what's funny is it was like such a small show that like she could just stay outside with me and didn't need to be backstage. So,
right.
Like, you can tell that like it's either like a money grab or like they really want to make sure that like the athletes get the recognition that they deserve for like going through the prep and putting in all this hard work.
And it just, to me, this one like falls back on what we were just talking about. Like, if it's going to enhance your experience, then maybe splurge on that registration fee or splurge on going to that bigger show. And then the last point, which I love, the place that you should splurge is on your coach.
Don't skimp on your coach, people.
Yeah.
Like maybe your gym coach or like your like regular like home gym, like local Lifetime Fitness coach, like maybe they are fantastic at bodybuilding. Like I can't say that they're not. I've just heard more stories of like, oh, like my local coach, you know, like helped me. And then it did not enhance your experience. Like I've seen coaches that are like, okay, I just want your weight and pictures. And like, don't talk to me the rest of the time. It's like, what? What?
Like that's not appropriate for prep.
No, it's not at yeah. all. So like make sure that the person that you're choosing like has either like done this before or has put like a lot of time and energy into like understanding bodybuilding and like how much energy goes into a prep, because like I can't take on a bunch of prep girls. Like I don't want to. Like I want to like really like pour into the few girls that I do have and like make sure that their experience is top notch.
Yeah. And being willing to spend on a coach, I like to think of it as like an investment. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a coach who you're not paying very much, usually if they're like a local trainer or maybe they've competed before and that's like all the credential that they have, they're not going to put your health and safety and things that need to be prioritized at the top of their list. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not going to happen. Whereas if you have a coach who, yes, maybe the investment into that coach is a little bit higher, you're going to get that quality back.
Yeah. Also, like just because like they charge a lot doesn't mean that they are a good coach too. I want to clarify that too.
That's what I was
like,
gonna say,
I would say like industry standard, just like cause some people don't know, like is probably like between like 250 and like I've seen people at like 600-700, which I've never hired someone that high. Like the highest I paid for a coach is like 425 for prep, because like the coach had like different rates for off season and prep, which is like how they did that. But yeah, just making sure that you vibe with them most, like pick the coach first, and then the price theoretically like shouldn't matter. Like it should be like in that space. Like I understand that like times are hard, and at the same time like a coach can completely mess up like your health, your experience as an athlete. Like I've seen people burn out because they choose like a not good coach, or they like maybe choose someone that just doesn't give them the care that they needed. So the coach is really one of the biggest parts of your experience, because you talk to them yes. so much, because they are influencing what you're doing with your body, with your prep, like with the suit you buy and how you present yourself on stage. Like the coach is directly involved in that. So again, like, do they feel like they're going to enhance your experience, or are they maybe like not as involved as you would need them to be? Or what do you need them to be? Maybe mm-hmm. those are all questions to ask.
Yeah, definitely. I think those are questions to just ask yourself and understand what is it that you want out of the coaching experience. But just remember, a contest prep is not a healthy endeavor. There are parts of this lifestyle that are healthy, but you need to have a coach who is going to prioritize your well-being, not just try to get you on stage for a win. And I do like that you kind of put that asterisk there, that just because a coach charges, you know, $500, $600 a month, it doesn't mean that they are going to have your health as priority, or your well-being, your mental status. Like the price doesn't necessarily reflect the quality. So something that I always recommend that I'm very big on is go speak to those coaches' athletes. For former, current, don't be afraid to DM, outreach, like ask around, because you're going to get a really clear picture of how that coach preps people from the athletes directly. And that's not to say you can't hop on the phone with a coach. I definitely recommend that as well. Like I really enjoy having calls with potential athletes, because it's a good way to gauge, like, are we aligned? Are we going to be a good fit? Do we have the same sort of like values and principles? Are we going to mesh together well? But if you want a clear picture of the full experience and the quality of coaching, I would reach out to athletes, and not just current athletes, not just the athletes that they post all the time, but like maybe former athletes, if you can find any athletes that were tagged like previous, and just kind of see, because the coaching industry, it's very saturated. Everybody is a coach, and it's difficult to discern like the quality. Mm-hmm. So I do like that you said like the price doesn't necessarily reflect the quality, and it shouldn't necessarily be a determining factor. It is an investment.
Yeah.
And just kind of going into it with open eyes is very helpful. Yeah. So
basically just not trying to find the cheapest coach and having that be the only thing that you care about, you know? But that's our list, yeah?
Yeah.
20 minutes, how'd we do? I hope we did good.
I think we nailed it. I think that was 20 minutes exact. Yeah. I hope that you guys found this helpful and practical. There are some takeaways here, some good questions to ask yourself, and just be aware of what you're going into. Don't just go in, you know, with no budget, no plan, no structure, because trust me, I have been there and it is not worth putting yourself in debt for. You know, the stage will always be there, but hopefully these things can help you guys save money, have a budget, be financially sound and stable. And that's like one less stress that you have to worry about. So this was an easy peasy quick one. We have plenty more on the way. If you guys have any questions, if you want to chat about anything that we talked about in this episode, please let us know. Our information will be linked in the description box below. As always, if you guys could like, share, subscribe, send this to a friend, that would be so, so helpful. I'm always incredibly grateful for all of you, and I hope that you're having a great week. And until next time, stay relentless.
Bye.